Welcome to another episode of Extraordinary Moments from an Ordinary Life. I'm just an ordinary human trying to soak in as much life as I can this side of heaven. I've had some interesting stories along the way, some fun, some serious and challenging, some unexpected, and some just plain crazy. But I'll have a lesson, and I so believe that we need to learn from one another's stories. Thanks for listening, and I hope to hear and learn from your moments as well. Enjoy! I was on a walk recently when I came upon two dogs in their backyard. One was a Malamute, and the other looked like it was maybe an English Bulldog, maybe a pug. I watched as the playful Malamute was trying to stir the other dog to wake up from his lazy nap and just come and play with him. The Malamute started nudging the other dog's head. He was nipping at his ears. He was so hopeful that he would wake up and just come and play. Well, he kept after him until the lazy one sighed heavily. He stretched out his body and he yawned, and then he finally decided to give in. He got up and he found the energy to fulfill the other dog's hope. I then watched as they played together. They frolicked around and they experienced sheer joy. Hope fulfilled. Even the lazy one ended up having fun. Well, sometimes life just doesn't turn out how we think it would or should, doesn't it? Expectations are funny that way. I think we build up a hope of what we think life will look like, what life should be. And when it doesn't turn out the way we thought that it should, disappointment definitely creeps in. And we're tired. And we then lose a bit of our hope. How about you? Are you the playful one, encouraging others to wake up and find some joy? Or are you the one just trying to get a nap in, wanting to be left alone in peace? As I stood watching those dogs, I decided that although I'm often the pug for sure, I want to be the Malamute in life. I don't want to give up hope. And I want to nudge and figuratively nip at other people's ears so that they too can find some hope right alongside me. It's been almost exactly a year to the day of my third and final big surgery in last year's medical journey. And it was a year of learning a lot, both about suffering and hope. I have mixed feelings, I think, about social media. I see the good, I see the bad. But you know what? Keeping people updated through that platform was such a godsend for me throughout last year. It was an easy and convenient way to share information with those in my social media circle. And it was a really great source of support for me as well, which I desperately needed last year. As a side note, since the majority of my intestines have now been removed and I don't have much left, I now call myself semicolon, and I use the hashtag semicolon problems in my posts. So I have loved that. I've got to find some humor in it, right? So I am now referred to as semicolon. Well, following are some snippets that I wanted to share from my final health post that I posted on Facebook from February. It said this: final update. Things are as is. No more doctor visits or hospitals for me in 2024. At least that's my plan. I'll probably continue to have chronic pain, digestive issues, and semicolon shenanigans of all sorts throughout my future. But you know what? I've gained what I think are some rich insights along the way. And actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I think I'm going to change my hashtag of semicolon problems to hashtag semicolon lessons. I then go on in my post to share a few lessons that I've learned along the way. I would love to share some of them here as well, if that's okay with you. And if it's not okay with you, I'm going to share them anyway, I guess, because it's my podcast, right? I can do that. My hope is that maybe you can be encouraged by one or more of these little insights in some way as you face your own struggles and you search for your own hope. Okay, here we go. Number one, I need to redefine what healing and goodness mean to me. Full quote, healing, as we typically hope and pray for, and what I usually perceive to be considered, quote, goodness in my life, might actually be different than what I've always thought or known. I'm finding that healing and goodness can come in many different forms, including simply coming to a place of acceptance in the things that I wish were different. Number two, the scars and struggles I get to see and experience each day are simply signs and reminders that I'm alive, I survived. Number three, there are certain treasures that can only be found in our hurting. Isaiah 45:3 says this, I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord. I don't want to miss a thing he has for me along the way. I want to find those treasures that can only be found in my current story. I want to trust in my season of suffering and try to not rush to get out of it, but simply to live well in it. Number four, it's important for me to choose to celebrate both what is and also what isn't. There truly is beauty in both. Number five, we all have good and hard in our stories, but they can coexist and it can still be a good story. Number six, I'm on assignment in this life to live my story well, whatever it may be. It's my story. It's my assignment. And I want to get an A+. Yes, I'm an overachiever. And yes, admittedly, I kind of want to be the teacher's pet. What does hope mean to you? I have all kinds of hopes. One that quickly comes to mind is that I hope we can pay off the parent portion of our student loans for our girls before we die. I've seen those memes of a 100-year-old lady with a cake in front of her. No, not to celebrate her 100th birthday, but to celebrate that she finally paid off her student loans. That is so crazy. But it's kind of a reality in our lives right now. But the good news is that any outstanding balance will die when we die. So there's that. There's always a silver lining, I guess, right? Our oldest daughter spent over a year applying, interviewing, and hoping for a new job. My husband has done the same in constantly having to audition and search for new contracts in his line of work. Well, we would all be excited about possibilities that seemed just right as a family. And then there would be another no. Hopes crushed again and again and one more time. But eventually, after so many no's, a yes came for our daughter. And you know what? It was better than all of the other possibilities along the way for sure. I love orchids. I have some on the side table that I'm trying to keep alive in honor of my dad who raised orchids and made it look so easy. He was so good at it. I have four of them at the moment, and I'm proud to say that two of them are currently in bloom. One has over 10 blossoms right now, and there are always more on the way. I can see them budding, and it's so exciting. But guess what? They weren't very pretty for the year that they were laying dormant and not producing any blossoms. I wait and I wait each year, not sure if they'll ever bloom again. Sometimes I just want to throw them away and go buy a new one that has the blossoms already blooming. But then when I wait, oh my gosh, when they bloom, they bring me so much joy. Partly, I think, because I had to wait. They probably wouldn't be appreciated as much or seem quite so beautiful to me if they were always in bloom, right? Waiting is tough, though, isn't it? Oh, and sometimes it just doesn't turn out at all how we had hoped. So what happens then? In full authentic disclosure here, I was in that space not long ago. I was headed to work at the airport. I was in a bad mood already. And then as I was walking to my gate, I heard someone whistling to the tune over the airport speakers. You think that would be something maybe that would be really nice and, oh, listen, he's whistling. That's so cute. But he was off pitch. Now, that might not matter to some of you, but to people who have close to or perfect pitch, oh, it's like fingers on a chalkboard. My mood got even worse. I boarded the plane. I was frustrated. And when I could use my phone, I started furiously typing into my notes app the things in life that were making me angry. It was things like politics, my health, my age, the high cost of everything, corporate greed, bad human behavior, what I see in the mirror each day, disrespect, apathy, entitlement, blah, blah, blah. I had to just stop myself. I was losing focus. And I was definitely losing hope. I recently listened to a podcast of Brené Brown's. She interviewed this doctor called Dr. Esther Perel. And she said this: we don't have a mental health crisis. We have a natural human response to a world in crisis. That really struck me. Life is hard. For everyone, in one way or another. I think we all see that. We're bombarded with such a magnitude of difficult things that we were really never meant to deal with all at once. It's at an insane level in all of our lives right now. So what do we do when we lose hope? When nothing makes sense and things are not how we thought that they should be? I think that's called suffering. And we all experience it. It's a part of the human condition, so it affects each one of us. Lately, I've been asking myself this question: does the loss of hope lead to suffering, or does suffering bring us to a place of losing hope? I still don't think I really know the answer to that question, but whatever it is, I definitely know that they are intertwined. A huge point that I want to make here is that, yes, we all suffer in different ways, but one suffering really can't and should not be compared to another's. No matter what it is, if it's suffering to you, it's important and it's yours. Can we please stop saying, well, so-and-so has it a lot worse than I do? It's like surgery. Have you heard that saying that if it's happening to someone else, it's minor surgery, but if it's happening to you, it's major surgery? In a way, we're all kind of, quote, going under the knife in different ways, but one is not more important or bigger than the other. They're individual, they're personal, they're ours. And so it is with suffering. We might suffer in different ways, but we all suffer as humans, and it hurts all of us. But you know what? In some weird way, I think there's a hope in the fact that all of us suffer together, collectively as humans. At least we're not alone. And I have to believe that suffering is never without purpose. Honestly, there are parts of Jesus that I will never know apart from suffering in this life. And I found that out in this last year. Last year allowed me to know him differently, better, and deeper. And that never would have happened had I not gone through the suffering that I did in the last 12 months. And I'm coming to a place, I think, that I see that it's possible to even suffer well. And you know what? That in itself gives me hope. Bishop Desmond Tutu said this: hope is being able to see that there is light despite the darkness. So true. I love that. I had a really weird thing happen yesterday. I went for a walk on a path that I've been on lots of times before. At one point, I looked over to my left, and there was snow-covered Pikes Peak, this beautiful mountain here in Colorado. But the thing is, Pikes Peak is never to your left if you're headed south in Denver. Everyone from Colorado knows that the mountains are to the west. That's how we can always find our direction. We always know where we are based on where the mountain range is. But I just hadn't noticed that there was this gradual curve of the path that had turned me from south facing to facing northwest, because it was gradual. But even though the mountains were to my left, I still knew where I was going, even though it threw me off a bit. But I knew I'd land at the same place I had always landed. I knew that my end destination was home and that I would have no problem getting there eventually. Okay, now this thought just popped into my mind. So as a side note, maybe some of you were taught this as well as a kid, but when I was young, I was taught this mnemonic device: never eat sour wheat, to remember the directions on the map. So NESW, reading left to right, never eat sour wheat. But recently, I've been reading all these great things about sourdough bread and the benefits of it. It's supposed to be amazing. So I don't know, maybe it shouldn't be never eat sour wheat anymore. So now that's messed everything up. I'm adding that to my list. There it is, folks. There's that sound that I know and love that I have hidden at least once in every episode. Kind of my thing. I love that. Kind of fun. Okay, anyway, back to the gradual curves throwing my sense of direction out of whack. The great thing was that I still knew that my end destination would be reached. For me, when I feel like I've lost hope and focus, what helps me the most is being reminded about an eternal perspective. Honestly, that is ultimately what gives me hope. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said this: we must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. That's so great. I love that. An eternal perspective, if you believe in that, it reminds me that God's timeline is so different than mine. And what I see before me today is just a teeny, eeny, weeny blip on the spectrum of time and eternity. Gradual curves can certainly throw us off, but they don't have to alter the course of our destination. As I walked that day, all confused that the mountains weren't where I thought that they should be, I heard a small voice whisper to me, and it said this: keep being obedient, Karen, and leave all the details to me. I love that. So reassuring and so hopeful. Those words actually still are giving me great hope today. When our youngest daughter was little, all she wanted for Christmas one year was an overhead projector. At the time, she knew she wanted to go into either medicine or education when she grew up, and the teacher side of her wanted to turn her bedroom into a classroom that year. She was so excited about the possibility of having an actual overhead projector to teach her imaginary students, or her sister, as the case would be, in her, quote, class. Well, the day came, and there were no large packages under the tree. We watched as her heart sank a bit. Then she opened up a small package that was the first of many notes to send her on a scavenger hunt that ultimately took her to her projector. Oh, the joy as she knew where she was headed. Each clue brought her more and more excitement, knowing that in the end, her hope would be realized. Spring is a great time to talk about hope, don't you think? There's the empty tomb. There are trees and flowers that have been lying dormant that are coming to life once again. Bugs and little critters are starting to make themselves known. Daylight is longer. Darkness is shorter. The grass is starting to turn green. As nature springs to life, the human soul is apt to revive as well. Like those orchids on my side table, there are seasons of dormancy and there are seasons of blooming in our lives. No season lasts forever, even though sometimes it sure feels as though those gradual curves, they can take us off track and cause us to completely lose sight of our destination. But do your best to keep your eyes on your final goal. Keep running the race before you. Josh Ross is a pastor in Memphis, and he's an amazing author. He tells this story of his aging parents headed to their finish line. He says, "They each walked with a limp because the lifelong journey of grief was setting in. My mom looked at my dad and said, 'Remind me what we believe. What do we believe again?' After a few moments, my dad responded with these words, 'The tomb is empty. The tomb is empty.' There is hope in the end, my friends. I promise you that." Well, folks, thank you so much for listening. If you're enjoying this podcast, please be sure to drop 5 stars in the ratings and reviews section and leave a comment if you'd like. Also, feel free to pass this on to any others who you might think might enjoy it. You can listen wherever you find your audio, including Anchor, Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcast. I'd also love to hear your comments and the stories from your own journey at lifemoments@mail.com. Please drop me a note and feel free to subscribe and join me again for my upcoming episodes. Thanks again so much for listening, and don't forget to always be on the lookout for the extraordinary in the ordinary of your own life. I hope you'll join me again next time.